Self-care. It's such a deep layered word, and for me, it's really become the process of getting to know yourself, showing up for yourself over and over again. In creation of the Self-Care Creature podcast, I want to teach you, too, how to have a relationship with yourself. We're going to dive into the psychological and physiological unfoldings of adopting what I love to call a self-care lifestyle. This podcast is here to help you, the stressed out but spiritually minded individual who can feel that wild calling in your heart, who wants to develop self-care rituals to support your daily living, give you the confidence and know-how to live through your intuition and raise your self-worth. You deserve it. You are capable of this. And I want to help you understand how the hell to get there, what it actually means, and how do you actually live it. That's where my intention is with this podcast. The Self-Care Creature Podcast, brought to you by me, your host, Courtney Klopp. Let's dive in. Hello, creatures, and welcome back. I'm coming in today to talk to you with a candid creature episode about healing through heartbreak. Blah. That's how I feel about that. The heart, the wound through the heart, and I so bittersweetly have to chuckle. Shout out to all my exes, because I've broken many a heart in my life. I know that I have, and this really fucking feels like karma to me. I am 33 years old, and I actually have not had my heart broken by a lover before. I have had my heart broken by friends. I've had my heart broken by my parents. I've had my heart broken in many ways in my life, but I have never felt this deep and profound ache of a heartbreak when you lose a lover that you didn't want to and a little bit weren't expecting to, especially in my case. It's a both and. I'm not going to get into all of the details, but it's like I understood that this was likely coming, but the way that it was delivered is really the biggest wound for me, because I'm like, damn, couldn't we have just gone about it a little differently after everything we've been through? And I do keep joking about how karma is a bitch, and I love her so, and I just wanted to take a moment to talk about, well, what the fuck is karma anyway? So I looked this up, did a little research. Karma is rooted in Hinduism and Buddhism, and it denotes the law of cause and effect, essentially, where actions bear consequences, sharing or shaping present and future experiences, particularly in Zen Buddhism, which I am a student of and have been for upwards of the last decade. Zen Buddhism recognizes karma as the interconnectedness of all things and the importance of mindful, compassionate action in the present moment. Instead of labeling actions as good or bad, Zen encourages understanding the impact of intentions, fostering responsibility, and breaking the cycle of suffering on the path to enlightenment. And enlightenment in Zen Buddhism is often referred to just as a, in simple terms, a profound state of understanding and insight into the true nature of reality, which involves transcending dualistic concepts and realizing the interconnectedness of all things. Do you see a pattern here? In Zen Buddhism, it's understood, enlightenment is understood as leading to a liberation from suffering and a profound sense of inner peace, clarity, and compassion. Which in my opinion also often sometimes gets confused with like the goal of not feeling your feelings. And I get really skeptical sometimes of just the bypassing that is so common and so easy to come about on a spiritual path. And I'm going to talk about that a lot today too. I think I have it written at least twice in all caps throughout my notes here for this episode. Caution, caution, caution. Actually feel your feelings. Feel the feels. As I'm navigating through this, I'm an Enneagram 7, if you happen to know what that is. If you don't, doesn't matter. But I'm a person that really just looks to the bright side always. And I'm always like, whoo, on to the next thing. Like, this is okay. Learning lesson. Let's go. Happy. Good. Avoiding feeling the feelings. And it's so easy, I think, especially from somebody looking out in at me, looking in at me, from the outside, that it's easy to think like, oh, she's doing great. She's navigating that well. And there's like true, deep heartache and pain on the inside. And it's taken me so many years to be able to get to a place where I could actually face that shit. Because it's such like a, it's not necessarily a conscious tendency that I'm not facing my problems. Especially when it feels so natural to just be like, this is just my outlook on life. I'm just like, yeah, like I can see the good in everything. Everything's a learning lesson. Let's go. And especially easier said when I personally had not experienced a heartbreak before necessarily. So in this episode, I just want to share the things that I have been doing to support myself through this heartbreak, especially because it is so new. And you know me, I love sharing my shit with you in the best way possible. Not in an airing my dirty laundry type way, but sometimes that's how it be. So I just want to give a reminder that my podcast episodes, sometimes I am processing through real time. Like right now, oof, it's pretty raw and pretty real, everything that I'm going through. But by the time that I actually publish and put this podcast out, many months will have passed. It could even be upwards of a year. I'm not even sure when I will complete this podcast episode, because I really love using this podcast as appropriately as possible, processing my shit in real time. I've had so many people throughout my life, friends, family, clients, followers, fans, I'll say, that just say like, I love the way you process. I love hearing how you work through things. And that's part of why I wanted to share this podcast, let alone I'm a verbal processor. Talking things out actually really helps me too. So as I'm sharing with you, it helps me. And the feedback I have received is it helps you too. So I hope that that remains true. That's likely why you're tuning in right now, huh? So with that being said, I'm going to share the processes that I have been moving through. So when I first received this information, I was really grateful to be in a private space. And so being able to find a private space for yourself, I think, is really essential. And I took some time to just like pace around. I was just pacing around. I was clearly upset. Like I could witness myself trying to just like clean. I'm a stress cleaner. So just like cleaning, tidying, avoiding. And then I'd just like flop down on the bed and just sob. And one of my friends actually sent me a song that also cracked me open. It's called All Too Well by Taylor Swift. I'm not a huge T-Swift fan, but that song and that album, I was like, oh my God, this is so good. And it was so good because it broke me open and allowed me to feel those feels. And so I really spent some time writhing around in bed, kicking and screaming and just sobbing, nasty drool sobbing into my pillow for a while and just holding my heart. And oh, it was ugly, but beautiful, if you know what I mean. Like, I just love, I don't need to say more. But taking that time to really, especially right after I got the news and I was a little taken off guard with the delivery, that was a really big thing for me, especially because I guess I received the news it doesn't even matter the timeline, but I wasn't able to sleep one night. The first night that I found out. And so this was me like processing in the morning more. So that was really great to like get those feels out. And I know that I personally know that something is really on my psyche and in my body when I wake up thinking about it first thing. And it's especially, I know that it's like really in there if it's fucking with my sleep. So that's just like a little gauge for me personally that I thought I'd share. So I also ended up writing out a chapter of our love, like our love story, as if it was a memoir in the book of my life. I was like, the year I met this person, and just like recapped. I love doing voice text. So I voice note. It's like, yeah, it's, I believe it is called voice text, but in the notes app of my phone, I'll just like let the phone listen to me talk and then it scribes it out. It's like futuristic writing. And don't get me wrong, pen to paper has its time and its place and is really, really great for neural pathways and processing. But this is a way that I've found really works for me, especially as a verbal processor. So I did that. I spent probably about 2 or 3 hours like really writing out that chapter. And who knows, maybe one day I'll actually publish a memoir and include that in there. But for now, it's just personal to have to be part of the process. And that first draft, just working through all of that, that did end up taking, like I said, a few hours, was in such a positive and profound and beautiful light, just working through the lessons. And then I knew that I was getting on an emotional roller coaster with all of this. I can't, and I keep trying to fool myself like I'm off the ride. Just kidding, not at all. Another round, here we go. And so I watched a lot of anger and discomfort arise as well. And I moved on from that chapter and just continued writing out my feels. And I love Brené Brown, I think, was somebody that I heard this, like, give yourself permission to write a shitty draft, write a shitty first draft. And it's, and these are just drafts, right? It doesn't necessarily mean you're sending them to anyone or sharing them even with anyone. It's just for your own personal process. And I really gave myself space to just like to be fucking mean, because that's a piece of what's coming up within me. I have to be honest about it. It's not that I'm actually a mean person. It's not that I actually want to say those things, but that it's true that that is what's coming up for me inside of me. And so I allowed myself to write those things down. I'd revisit them and then I'd remember like, oh, I really want to be able to come back to my compassionate heart. I really want to be able to see this through understanding. And so it's just like a little bit of a back and forth, but that's part of my process. Another piece, if your house isn't necessarily a place where you can writhe around and scream and be uncomfortable, I always am saying I fucking love the car for those things. And especially just screaming in the car, sometimes hitting the steering wheel. Not while you're driving, pull over, drive somewhere that no one else is around, or fuck it, even if they are, it's a public place. Like, you don't, you know, maybe not like a Target parking lot, but whatever your comfort level is, where whatever you have access to, and just screaming. But I've also had to get really careful as I have tapped in deeper to my anger and my grief, that I have recognized that sometimes I will actually hurt my body, hurt my vocal cords from screaming. And so I have to be a little bit careful. But with that, I'll also suggest that singing is like gentle screaming, like turn on a song that gets you going and that just like helps you vibe. Whether that's to think positive or process through the emotions or like gets your heart going, then that can really be helpful as well. And dancing, not necessarily in the car now, but just in general, dancing can be really helpful. Dancing can be a catalyst for me to like help me also start crying, because sometimes I need that help. And with that, I'll say also just like gentle shaking of my body, which is a somatic release practice, can be really helpful too. part of using the songs to process for me personally is also finding songs where the lyrics really resonate. And sometimes it's like I need a boost of like remembering who I am. There's this song. Oh, I'm gonna have to look it up. Okay, it's called Sis, You a Bad Bitch 2.0 by Shariah Wise. And the lyrics open with Sis, you a bad bitch. Even when you don't feel it, you still the baddest. Songs like that, like hype me up, you know, get on that level. Whatever makes you feel good, makes you feel like your badass bitch self that you need to be able to move on and go in the world. But I'm also talking about using song and music as a way to gauge your grief and help you like be in it and move through it. And trust the songs that come to your mind is a big suggestion that I have for you. Trust that little intuitive push. And last night, I actually got a song that I hadn't heard in a really long time stuck in my head. And it's called Someone That I Used to Know. You may recognize it. I think it's from, what's that girl's name? Kimbra and Gautier. I think I'm saying that right. Anyway, just look it up. It's pretty good. I like the tune and all of it, but it's never hit me and really grabbed my heart the way that it does. And y'all know I love lyrics at this point. So the lyrics that really stick out to me in this song that I just love belting along with the chorus is, but you didn't have to cut me off, make out like it never happened and that we were nothing. And I don't even need your love, but you treat me like a stranger, and that feels so rough. Oh, the dagger in my heart. Especially because in this specific partnership and relationship that I have been navigating, it's like the love was great, but we were very understanding about our situation, and it's like, I didn't need it. I didn't feel like I needed it. But don't fucking treat me like a stranger. Like, and that's one of the most challenging things in my life and with my exes is that I've just always wanted to be friends and process through with people. And I just think that it makes sense that you share something so beautiful and so deep with somebody that like, let's have a ceremony. Let's have a celebration. Let's keep in touch at least for a little bit, like acknowledge what we've been through. I've at least grown into this place. I have not always been this bitch. And so it's just hard when somebody turns on their heel and walks away. And I also have to say, back to karma, I've been that bitch. I've been that bitch. Ugh. And that's why it's just so, I'll use the word funny lightly here. But that's why it's just so funny, poignant, like, whoa, that it's happened. Like, it's just, there it is. It feels like a direct mirror for me to be looking into. And it's really challenging, I have to say. And it doesn't come without understanding. Like, I feel very understanding for the situation that is present now. I feel very understanding of the way tides shift, the way karma is delivered. And I feel very understanding that this is a lesson that I needed in my life, even though I may say that with gritted teeth. And I also, if I'm being really honest with myself, I feel like it's a lesson that was coming for me and has been for a while. So as I continue to move through and process these things, I took many a bath and showers to cleanse myself of this energy. Water is so soothing for me, and I just imagine just soaking up the warmth and then the sensation of the water around my body and imagining just releasing, just letting go, coming back to myself. I did a lot of meditations in the bath. There's this new meditation that I learned. I also went to, right after I received this information, I scheduled myself a back-to-back yin yoga class and a sound bath class. And I learned this really cool meditation that helps me move with sound and affirmation in my body through some of the chakra system. So I took time to be in that. I took time to for me, it felt really powerful to recognize that and declare that this was not going to tear me apart, that my heart is protected and this does hurt and it is a wound. And I'll just share, without getting too over analytical of myself for it, the imagery that came to mind to me once during a meditation around this was imagining this blade coming for my heart and that my hands clasped over it and stopped it from going into my heart. And my hands, of course, were cut and bleeding, and that it hurts. Like, can you imagine grabbing a blade? Like, holy shit, ouch, 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 ouch. And like, my heart is okay. I'm not torn apart by this. But I had so many other sensations and feelings that rose up in my body. I definitely used the phrases that I felt gutted. I also, interestingly enough, got a lot of tingly sensations through my upper back and shoulders and my trapezius muscles and my deltoids. in that upper body region and especially at the base of my neck. So those are all interesting things. And from going into a little bit more spiritual practices, I had met someone once that told me to envision placing myself into a golden triangle and allowing any attachments to from others in the world, in life, that got into my body to be released and leaving my body through the tip of this pyramid. So that's something else. Like, as I tap my body, I tap my shoulders, I tap my upper back, I tap my low skull, and I just imagine that pyramid and I just say, I release this, I release this. And I think that that definitely is helpful, but it can't be the only thing that you're doing. Yeah, it's great to have that intention and to strive to move energy in that way, but also you can't just say you release something and it's released. Like, wounds go so much deeper than that into the nervous system. So it's always a both and. So as I was navigating this and finding challenge, I did ask a friend to come over and hug me and be with me. And I made friends or plans with friends throughout the week, especially right after it happened, and just made my schedule a little bit more socially filled as I was navigating this heartbreak. But I also am really good at completely filling up my schedule, so I had to be really careful of that, because I'm good at keeping myself busy and just not feeling the feelings, to avoid the deeper leveled. And that's something, like, when I was smoking and or drinking more, those were tools at that time that kept me, when I was alone, from being able to feel those things. And so I really strive to make space to feel the feelings. I'm going to say that so many times in this episode. And that often for me is coming in either morning or nighttime routines. Oftentimes the morning at this time feels the most challenging for me. And so this also means being conscious of this. I guess I would say mornings feel most challenging, but evenings are the time where I really like to give myself space to feel the feelings, turn on songs that I know are gonna hurt a little bit, go into memories that I know pry me open a little bit, whatever that may be, to be able to actually feel it. And sometimes I need help, like a gentle encouragement, to get this first cry out. And that might even be like gyrating my body a little bit, or almost like fake crying, to help ignite the actual feelings and the crying. That's something that I learned at a grief ceremony with a woman named Nala Walla of the Well, Be Well. I can link her in the show notes. But some of us just have a hard time really tapping into grief and those deeper feelings. And so that's something. And especially doing it before bed that gives me time to just feel it, these like feeling the emotions. And part of why we're so good at avoiding it is that it makes you really fucking tired. It shuts down your brain. It takes a lot of fucking energy to be with that shit. But also, just a reminder, it takes a lot of energy also to keep yourself continuously busy in order to avoid it. So you get to choose your hard. And the hard of feeling the feelings, in my opinion, long term, actually allows you to heal and move through on a really deeper nervous system level that allows you to be able to rest, allows you to be able to actually relax in your life, because you won't find that when you slow down, there's suddenly a bunch of shit there for you to see or feel. Not that feeling your feels is exclusive to being comfortable in resting and relaxing in life, but I find that there is a thread there. So I will say that it's also a tendency to want to do something radical and make some really big moves, and like you're getting a fresh start. And for me personally, I was feeling really tempted to look into moving and to get tattoos. But I put a pause on that for myself, and instead I decided, I finally went through my wardrobe and I got rid of 2 giant bags of clothes that I no longer wear. And I also went to the grocery store and filled my fridge up with food to make sure that I was properly nourishing myself. And of course that grocery run came with quite a few extra chocolatey cookie type things as well to be able to support myself in that way. And so, allowing yourself, maybe you want to rearrange your house. Maybe I'm also a stress cleaner, so I'm always tidying up, cleaning. I already mentioned that. But just little things like that that help you feel like you're getting a fresh start. Maybe there are projects around the house that you've been putting off. Any little things that help you come back to yourself. But this is something that I actually help clients with when they are going through really big, major transitional life things is, don't just turn your life upside down. Don't necessarily, I mean, you can do, it's hard to decipher what is right for you and what's wrong. You want to get the haircut, get the haircut. You want to get the tattoo, tattoos are pretty permanent, but go ahead and get the tattoo. But I would advise you to not make really big life decisions. A tattoo would be a big life decision, I would say, because it's permanent. Getting an animal would be a really big life decision because that is a really big responsibility. Moving homes is a really big responsibility. And those are all things that also add different types of stresses to your nervous system, which is why it can be so tempting and might even feel so good to do, because it's putting a different type of activation into the nervous system. But it can easily, again, take away and help distract you from what's actually at hand. So I usually ask my clients to set some sort of goal. Can you wait 30 days? Can you wait 60 days? Can you wait 90 days before making any really big life changes? And as I came into this time of navigating this heartbreak myself, I asked myself if I could do that. And I have to admit, it was really hard, but particularly because of my professional experience, I knew that it was something that I felt like I really needed to do. And that's probably why I came to a conclusion after a meditation one day that I wanted to ignite a 90-day integration window for myself to be able to come back to myself. And particularly this would mean no dating anybody else, and particularly dating myself and make sure that I'm taking care of me. So I do have a few other things on my checklist, but because this came up right now, I'm just going to say that I ended up using ChatGPT to create a list of things for me to focus on and move through my healing. It also included a daily checklist for myself and a 12-week fitness regime plan. And I'm going to cover all of that guide with you. And you can also download it in my free mini courses if you want to use it. It's the exact outline that I created and printed for myself. So if it feels like it resonates for you. The last few other things that I did is that I watched some reality TV and I was scrolling on TikTok more than normal. And, you know, just getting into some mindless things that I enjoy. And so I had already been watching, I can't remember what season or anything it was, but I had been watching some Too Hot to Handle reality TV. And so I had some new episodes to catch up on. And yeah, just making sure that I was indulging in some lighthearted, mindless things instead of falling into some sort of, like, particularly when it comes to scrolling on social media and being on TikTok, I was making sure that I was just watching some lighthearted things, got in some laughs. You know, that TikTok algorithm is really clever. And so it didn't take long to just have like a bunch of comedians and funny shit coming up on my page. But it's also really easy for me to fall into a sort of comparison trap on social media. So I had to be really careful of that as well. And I've become pretty good at gauging this for myself, but I made sure to limit my time. And I usually wouldn't allow myself to be on TikTok for about more than a half hour, 30 minutes, because I know that that's about when my mood starts to shift, and not in a good way. And you may or may not know, but I'm extremely passionate about social media boundaries and particularly logging off of social media and off of technology. And I did create a course, a 30-day course, all about this to help you with these boundaries as well. And that is available inside the SCC membership or the self-care collection, which is available a la carte for $199. And the membership is, at the time of this recording, currently available for $59 per quarter. Steal of a deal, honestly. So the last few things that I did here that I started implementing for myself before I go through this guide with you, I have a special place out in nature that I really enjoy. I call it my sacred nature space. And I go and there's a couple trees that I make offerings to. I've planted plants there, and I went and visited that space shortly after all of this happened as well. And that is a space for me personally in my spiritual practice where I am in touch with my animal allies, my ancestors, spirits of land and place. And I went and I felt like I was just consciously holding and moving through an earth and water ceremony. It was just something very small. There were two plants in particular from the wilderness that this partner of mine had gifted me, and they weren't necessarily thriving in my home space. And I just thought, as I was cleaning things up around my home, I just thought, I'm going to take these to the sacred land space and offer these back to the land and let it be a piece of letting go and giving back from our relationship. So I took those things there, and I just thanked spirit and, again, ancestors and allies and guides, to just thanking them for allowing me to be grounded, helping me move through my emotional state, which emotions and water tend to be represented together. I put my hands in the stream and just really, essentially, whether any of the rest of it resonates with you, just really connecting with nature was really helpful for me. And I had to be really careful not to get rid of everything that reminded me of this person right away. And I think that was really, really tempting. And it was especially really tempting and really hard when I noticed that pretty immediately it seemed as though they had deleted the app in which we had been communicating on. And then I noticed that they stopped following me on social media. All completely understandable things. I felt really grateful that I wasn't blocked. But of course, I'm like, did they delete my number from their phone? Like, all of this stuff. And the mind will go places. But I wanted to be careful to not get rid of all of the things that reminded me of them, because I don't think that's living. I want to be able to look at things that remind me of this person and be grateful for those memories and that time in my life, because every person that comes into your life is teaching you something, is giving you something. And maybe not everybody. Of course, there's caveats, especially when it comes to like abusive situations, right? But in general, can we strive to be appreciative of the relationships that we've had and the people that have crossed our paths? Same thing with friendships that come and go. So that's something that I was being really careful with. And I did create this. I recently started working with spell jars not too long ago, within this last year. And that's not something that I have researched at all. But it is basically these little jars that I just intuitively have gone about this, so don't like take my word for it. But intuitively, it's a jar that you fill with something that you have an intention around, and that could, like, I've made one for cannabis. I put weed in it. I put like I had a roach clip. I had this tiny little rolling tray that was like a pin for your shirt inside of it, and then you put a candle on top and you melt wax over it to kind of seal it in, and you have this intention. And I personally use the spell jars to help me work through things in my life. And I had created a spell jar and given it to this person. This was the first time I ever did this, as a gift, and it was filled with all sorts of different memories and things like this. And then I gifted it to them. I gave them one and I kept one, and I gifted it to them with a letter of the things that it represented. And I really wanted to dispose of that pretty quickly, but I could recognize within myself that it felt like a knee-jerk reaction. And because I had made other spell jars, I made one for my mother when she was sick and before her passing. And like I said, I made one with cannabis when I was working to change my relationship with it. I knew that it wasn't going to be a good idea to get rid of it right away. And I did ask my heart a few times, what do you think of this? And I decided to keep it. And now, disposing of spell jars for me personally, I take it to a sacred place and bury it and give it back to the land personally. And again, that's just in my own intuitive sense. Nobody ever told me about that. I don't know what's proper. When I say proper, I mean traditional in terms of using spell jars. But anyway, I have decided to, the time of this recording, I've decided to keep that spell jar with me as a reminder of the commitment and the intention behind the partnership, and to help use it as another gauge for where my heart is. And when I feel like I've really truly moved through this, and when it feels right, then I will offer it up to the earth. So last but not least, there are such a thing in my self-awareness class that I learned with Dr. T. Williams. There's such a thing called magical questions that really help to shift the brain. And there's like actually some science behind this. I also heard it from a spiritual teacher of mine many years earlier, but didn't know the like psychological grounding behind it, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. So these what if questions can be very powerful for the psyche because they engage our imagination and curiosity, which prompts us to explore alternative possibilities and potential outcomes. So I asked myself a lot of what if questions, and this is the other thing I actually meant to say. So just bumping this in with the what if questions, I left myself a lot of voice notes. So as a voice note, I left myself a message for these what if questions. What if this ended in the best way it possibly could? What if this is like beautiful? What if I come out more stronger than I've ever been on the other side of this? What if this is something that I needed in my life? Is it possible to see that and be with that? And yeah, sometimes these questions, the what if questions, can really shake you up, and they're not always going to be something that you can hear at that time. But because I'm practiced in them, I found them just bubbling up for me one day, and I left myself a voice note about it. So voice notes also, just that's something that I, as a verbal processor, is a suggestion that I give to other clients and other people that are verbal processors. Talk to yourself, talk it out, just hear it. You don't necessarily have to listen back to it, but I personally really do enjoy listening back and hearing myself processing some of these things. I left myself this one message that I listened to so many times that I was just being so, I was like, I'm just holding my gentle, tender heart right now. And I'm just like talking myself basically through the understanding of the pain and the understanding of the situation as well. So next, I want to share with you this plan, this list for moving through the healing that that ChatGPT helped me create, the heartbreak healing plan, how to work through it and eventually actually heal mentally, physically, emotionally. And as I mentioned, this is available for download for free for you in my free mini courses, which you can find a link to those in the show notes as well. So number one, you guessed it, is allow yourself to feel the emotions. And I've been bombarded a bit with things regarding moving through heartbreak in my TikTok algorithm lately, go figure. And I have come across a few videos that talk about intellectualizing our feelings. And I just want to remind us that feeling our feelings is like in the body. It's actually crying. It's actually screaming. It's like getting into that pain and that discomfort. And that can be really hard for a lot of different reasons. And some of those reasons may be the way that you are actually able to access your emotions due to the experiences that you've had in your life, let alone the fact that it's just downright fucking uncomfortable. And I have especially, like I said, in the mornings at this time have been really challenging for me. And I just notice, I feel this pain that comes up in my heart. And sometimes I feel it in the middle of the day. And it's hard because I know what that pain is, where it's coming from. I know that I need to give it attention and that I don't necessarily always feel like I can just stop what I'm doing in my day to do that. But that's why it's important to give yourself space through this process to make sure that you are checking in with yourself and actually feeling the feels. And as morning time has been a really tender place for me, I'm making sure that I'm still showing up for my morning routine. I have a solid fucking morning routine. Most of you know this. There's also a how to create your own routines in the free mini courses, and that's also part of the SC collection. And there's a lot there in the morning time. Journaling, being with the emotions, moving my body. There's a lot of things that come up. That's where I usually dance as well to just get things out, especially at the beginning of all of this and waking up with this on my mind every single morning. I would often just lay in bed and cry. And sometimes that's just what you need to do. But I just can't say it enough. Allow yourself to feel. Give yourself permission and get in there and figure it out. Find your safe space. And I should probably mention too, that safe space may be in a professional capacity. Some people do feel comfortable being able to cry in front of their therapist or counselor or coach or whatever that safe space for you may be. But please do not suppress or deny your feelings. You have to let yourself grieve and process the pain, or else it's going to stick with you in some way, shape, or form. And it might stick with you anyway, because that's the way life works, life experiences. The next on the list is to reach out for support. Lean on your friends and family for support. Talk about your feelings with people that you trust who can provide comfort and perspective. And I've reached out to several different people. People in general give different support for you, right? So knowing who your people are and just allowing you to be in it in the way that you need. I have friends that will sit and just listen and talk it out with me. I have other friends that will shit talk with me and just let me kind of just be a little bit more goofy about it. there's just a lot of different ways to be held and seen, and just make sure that you're reaching out and getting that support. It is not a good idea to isolate yourself. And of course, you have to give yourself time. One of the biggest things, that the hardest things, I think, for me personally, being somebody that likes to just future trip, skip on ahead to the next thing, is that this is going to take time. There's no bypassing or fast forwarding through a painful experience. Healing takes time, and there's no set timeline for being with grief, and heartbreak is most certainly a type of grief. So be patient with yourself and allow the healing process to unfold naturally. And through the process, as you are with this over time, the next step, reflect and learn. Reflect and learn. And I even started making a list, actually. What are the things that I gained from this experience? What are the things that I learned? And how can I grow and improve as a person moving forward? And of course, that comes with time too. But in my journal, I made space for these lists. And as ideas come to me, I just write them down. Oh shit, I actually gained this from that relationship, or whatever. And sometimes it's even a little snarky. Well, now I know fucking better boundaries, like, or whatever it may be. Staying active is tip number 5 on this list. Really, truly, this is something that I would highly recommend. And no matter what your physical activity level is, you could roll around on the floor, you could go for a simple walk around the block, you can go for a hike, you can start a new fitness regime, whatever it may be. But exercise really helps to alleviate stress and improve your mood, and will help to move these feelings out of your body. I don't know the specific science behind it, but I know that it is known now that our emotions become part of our anatomy. The way that we feel, our muscles tense, and we hold emotion in different parts of our body, and moving our body, being physically active, helps us to be able to move this through and out and transmute it into something different. And not trying to be super spiritual here, but just remembering that everything is energy, that we are energy. And so it's like you have the power to kind of harness that and transmute it in a certain way with physical activity. And if you're just also feeling completely down and out, and you're like, oh, like moving my body is not what I want to fucking do at all, meet yourself where you're at. Can that be okay right now? Are there any little tiny things that you can do to move your body or support yourself differently? You just have, those are personal questions for yourself. But physical activity is a great way to boost your overall well-being during this difficult time. Obviously, I'm going to say engage in self-care. And my definition of self-care is making sure that you are continuously checking in with yourself. But this also means doing things that just bring you some joy, you know, the classic definition of self-care. Maybe you do want to take a bubble bath. Maybe you want to pick up a mindfulness practice, read that book that you have been wanting to, pursue hobbies that you enjoy overall, and allow yourself to take care of yourself. And this can be a very fine line between distracting yourself and taking care of yourself. So you have to get honest with yourself there. Something else that came up on this list that is challenging is to limit contact with the person. And yes, it might be very tempting to keep in touch. And it's often best, though, to limit contact while you create space to heal. And I think for me personally at this time, this is really challenging because I have been cut off from all contact. There is no option for any type of contact, even if I did desire that. And I do wonder if it's something that will come around in the future, because I'm a growth-oriented bitch and I love the conversations for reflections and growth at other times. But I think that it's a blessing in disguise that for me personally, contact is not available at this time. And I had a really beautiful reminder from a friend that was giving me advice for a breakup process. And she had said that you know, you can set like a date out, like plan a date to touch base in a month and touch in and see how are you each feeling? Do you still need more time? Do you want to come back together? And to be really honest with yourself and to respect and hold space for wherever that other person is at. And I really loved that advice because sometimes we just need a month apart to be able to settle and realize like, whew, I'm coming back to myself. This is what my life looks like without this person. And sometimes we also need 6 months. Sometimes we need different various times, person to person. And so I just really loved that advice. But limiting contact to be able to create an honest space of healing for yourself, that's a toughie, but I think that it's really true. And as I had mentioned earlier, avoid isolation. Isolation will prolong the healing process. Isolation is a tool of oppression. Isolation is not going to help anything. You do not need to go through this alone. You should not go at this alone. Healing happens in community, right? So surround yourself with positive, uplifting influences and stay socially connected in whatever regard that means to you. Brainstorm some ideas around that. And seek professional help. If you find that your emotions are overwhelming and that you're struggling to cope, like you can't get off the fucking couch or out of bed, especially consider speaking to a therapist or a counselor or a coach or a shamanic practitioner or a somatics therapist, like whoever is in your corner that you feel really is helpful for you. If you've been wondering, should I go to therapy? Maybe now is the time. These people can provide guidance and strategies to help you navigate through this challenging time because they're educated in this process. They've possibly even been there themselves and they have the tools and the stability to be able to hold you. It is their profession to hold space for you to be able to focus on your personal growth and move through this healing at this time. And of course, it's extremely vulnerable. And I think we're still coming out of a time where there's a lot of stigma around having that professional help. But I'm somebody that has come from that stigma as well. My family doesn't understand therapy, why you would need it, what that's all about. And since I have finally been branching out and utilizing these professional tools myself in my life over the last many years, it's just profound in the way that it has been helpful. But I also had to change my mindset around it. I've seen various counselors in my life that I just didn't feel like they were very helpful. And I think it's because I held that stigma and that belief. You have to know how and why having an outside support system, particularly somebody that may not even know you very well, a professional that may be a stranger, can really help you hold neutral space and offer different perspectives as you're moving through something that's really fucking challenging. And as I had just mentioned, focusing on personal growth, use this time to focus on your personal goals, your passions, and self-improvement. Rediscover who you are outside of the relationship. I personally find that no matter how independent I strive to be in my life, when I am in a relationship with someone else, we just morph. I can only speak for myself, but I tend to just morph in little ways around this person because I get so excited and enveloped in my loves that I want to make my life more about them. And a healthy relationship, of course, helps you foster personal growth within it. But for me personally, I do end up losing that sense of independence because I am so excited about being with somebody else. So this is an opportunity to focus on your personal growth and rediscover who you are outside of this other person. And along the way, forgiving and letting go. Ooh, forgiving and letting go. Holding on to anger and resentment can hinder your ability to move forward. And so I'll get to this also, but I created this part of this checklist that you can find in the free mini courses for the Heartbreak Healing Plan here. There's a huge affirmation statement that I wrote up, and part of that says, I'm trying to read it in here, but it's just like talking about that understanding the growth and the healing process and how it's difficult, but what this is giving me is strength and resilience. And I embrace the idea that healing doesn't mean forgetting, but rather finding a way to release the pain while holding on to the lessons and the love shared. Little things like that. You can find the whole statement in the download, but just finding ways to seriously and sincerely, deeply forgive and let go. And that, those lessons, forgiveness and letting go, are really big fucking lessons in life. This isn't just like a little check on the list. These are things that I personally have been working with for years. I'm constantly curious and holding, like, what exactly does forgiveness mean? And it's something that I also work with very deeply with my clients, because we have to be able to forgive ourselves and to forgive others as a crucial piece of the healing process. Because when we are holding on to that resentment, whether it's towards somebody else or it's towards ourselves for the way that we acted, again, those emotions get trapped in our body and they prolong or inhibit a fully healing process. And that means that they end up coming out in some other way, shape, or form in your life. Maybe it comes out as you doubt your ability to be able to show up for others because you haven't been able to forgive yourself for the way that you treated this person at one time, or whatever it may be. This is just so crucial. I can't say it enough. Learn forgiveness, practice letting go. Let your heart be open. Do not harden. And again, fucking easier said than done, bitch. And lastly, visualize a positive future. I really love this one. I am all about vision statements. I love listening to voice notes. I love dreaming. And imagination is such a big piece of liberation work too, because we have to be able to imagine a different life for ourselves, which can be really challenging, especially if this heartbreak or breakup has basically feels like it's reinforcing patterns that are consistent in your life. But as time passes, is it possible for you to envision a future where you're healed, happy, and thriving? Set positive intentions for yourself and work towards this reality on a daily basis. And that's part of the positive intentions is another thing that comes up in the daily routine that's part of this checklist. And that's where I share that really big paragraph that just focuses on what I'm striving to create and heal through. It starts with I honor my journey of healing and growth. I recognize that the path to healing involves understanding and acceptance. So just allowing yourself to soften and come into those things. So again, I really highly recommend that you download and go and find that this Heartbreak Healing Plan. I'm not going to spend more time reading through the entire thing, but those were the 12 steps that I'm just kind of keeping alive and with me included in this download. I also have the daily checklist of things that I am keeping near. Again, there's like a morning throughout the day and evening routine or things that I am making sure to also keep near me. And then there's that activity plan, that 12-month activity plan. So you can find that in the free mini courses. At this time, I'm going to take a pause for this episode. I'm going to let some time pass, come back, let you know how the healing process is panning out. I may end up repeating some things that I had shared previously in the episode, but one thing that I know I've already mentioned a few times that I want to say once more before I pause the episode at this time is that I keep trying to convince myself that I am not on the emotional roller coaster. Even last night, I found that I was riding a really big high, and I'm at a place with my self-awareness in my life. I was able to recognize, like, wow, this is some really like high kind of manic energy. And I left myself a voice note when I was in that place, which is great because I can listen back to that. I can feel my heart. I can feel my excitement and my sincerity for like, yeah, I'm feeling good and just move on. And that's very real. And then this morning I wake up, like I said, mornings are the hardest for me. I'm crying. I get into my morning routine. I'm fucking angry. I'm so angry. And so it's just like, please, little babe, I'm reminding you, I'm reminding me, we have to allow ourselves to be in the waves of life, to be on the emotional roller coaster. And do not fool yourself in thinking like, okay, like I had a really big breakthrough. I had a really big release. I had a great cry session. Like, I'm good. I'm done. This is it. This is something that I find myself cringing to even say, but seriously, like, give yourself a fucking year. Give yourself a year to be with this. I'm not saying you can't date again. I'm not saying that you need to like mull all of this over and be intentionally with it every fucking day for a year. But I'm just saying, try to get out of the narrative of telling yourself that you're over it and that you're through it. And just know that this is a type of grief that you're going to be holding with you. And like I've shared, there are some gauging points to be able to feel into how much you have moved through it by keeping things that remind you of this person near you, by listening to certain songs. You can tell how activated you get still by looking at those. And I like to use that personally as a compass for how much I've actually been able to move through that grief and that heartache. And sometimes that maybe that's a little too activating for some people, but I'm the type of bitch that really likes to lean into and look at my activations and my triggers. And I do like to use them as a compass for how much I've moved through that energy in my own body. Because when I can listen to that song again, when I can hold that picture or that gift that was given to me by that person, and I can actually not feel anything, or from a neutral state, I can even start to move into, wow, I was really grateful. I'm so happy and grateful that we had that experience. That's how I know that true healing has began to take shape. And I'm telling you, it's a hard journey, and don't just jump to staring at the photo and saying, I feel fine. Like, I'm good. This is fine. Nah, bitch. It's not. And it's going to take some time. So take care of yourself. Like I said, again, pausing this episode for a while, tucking it away in the folder, and I'll come back to wrap it up at a later date to let you know how the healing process has unfolded. Wishing you all well for now, and I'll circle back soon. Thank you for tuning in to the first episode of this Healing Through Heartbreak series. I have to admit that this series, as I release it, feels like one of the most vulnerable series that I've ever released and personal shares, but it does feel important. And as I may have mentioned before, I hope that it helps at least one person out there. I just want to remind you that you can find this little Healing Through Heartbreak PDF download that I put together in our free mini courses. And be sure to tune in next Friday for part two. You can also sign up and keep in touch via SEC emails. There is the podcast feedback form where you're always welcome to share your own thoughts or ask questions or inquire. And I would love to request for you to leave a review specifically on Spotify if you're listening there. And I also want to let you know, if you're tuning in this January 2024, I have enrollment open to my first live program that I've done in 4 years. So I just recently revamped my signature program, the Well Self program, and it is the foundation for creating self-care within your life that you can return to and build from for the rest of your life. So as being a part of this cohort, you get access to the course, lifetime access, and all the updates. And then we begin on January 20th, meeting weekly for about 12 weeks. And the course is filled with practical practices, of course, with lectures and things as well that you can watch at your own time. But the live group experience is meant for us to really come together as a group and have time to work through some of these practices and ask questions. And so as a participant, you get to vote on which practices you want to work through. And that form with the curriculum and all of the info is linked in the show notes below. Thank you again for really, truly just taking the time to listen and to be a part of my personal self-care and sharing journey, and also a part of this community. As I like to remind us often, the world needs more human creatures slowing down and taking the time to get to know themselves better. So thank you for being a part of that journey. Take care.